Maybe first we recite we do purification of the Shajamana Buddha mantra. Okay? I visualize it. Lamang Dombo Jun Den De De Jin Japan Da Jun Bayan Da Paran Zul He San Ye Pan Ja Wa Sha Ja A Tu Wa La Ja Za Lo Lamang Dombo Jun Den De De Jin Japan Da Jun Bayan Da Paran Zul He San Ye Pan Ja Wa Sha Ja Tu Wa La Ja Za Lo Lamang Dombo Jun Den De Jin Japan Da Jun Bayan Da Paran Zul He San Ye Pan Ja Wa Sha Ja Tu Wa La Ja Za Lo So we recite the mantra and by visualizing Shakyamuni Buddha. At the same time, remembering his qualities, you know, having completed the mind in training compassion and perfect power and omniscient mind. And all other realizations the Buddha has. And remembering the kindness that Buddha has set up, you see, these different levels of Pattimoksha vows, different vows for the lay people, and then different level of vows for the ordained ones. You see, beginning with the refuge vow, you see, Pattimoksha vow, then there's Buddha vow, then there's Tantra vow. You see, these are the. So without Pattimoksha vow, the vows, precepts, you see, to achieve liberation of the soul. Without this practice, no way to achieve liberation. This is the main source, you see. This is the main source. The vows, precepts are the main source of achieving liberation, creating cause, creating to actualize the gradual path to liberation, you see. One need to accumulate a lot of merit and purify. So, and stop creating obstacles. Stop creating the obstacles again. The need karmas for attaining obstacles, which becomes obstacle. You see, to achieve the realizations, but the path of liberation. So, by living in the vow, you see, in the precepts, you know, it purifies past need karma, and also one do not create one don't create obstacles again, you know, need karma, which obscures the mind again. So one doesn't do that. Again, obscuring the mind again, see, on and on. So one doesn't do that. So one doesn't create obstacles again to achieve realization. One doesn't create obstacles for happiness, happiness this life, future lives, liberation, enlightenment, you see. So these are the benefits of the living in the vow, precepts, you know, and the moral, you see, the moral, the moral discipline. So only this way, then there's happiness. You see, only this way there's happiness. By living in the moral discipline or the precepts, then you see, this way also it helps. By making this condition, it helps, you see, to control the mind. One doesn't involve, you see, those, you see, cause of the problems, non-virtues, you see, killing and such, you see, those, stealing and telling lies, so forth, you see. So while one is living in this precepts, one doesn't involve in those things. So that is living in the vow, you know, which is the cause of happiness, you see, not creating obstacle again, only creating happiness, cause of happiness. And this is the way of giving, this is the way really giving freedom to yourself. This is the real way of giving freedom to oneself. This is the real way of loving to oneself. Why? Because what you're doing is which brings happiness to oneself. So that's the real way of, which brings happiness, not only day to day life, but, you know, happiness, liberation, enlightenment. you see, even the ultimate happiness, you see, which definitely must lead to achieve these results, you see. So this is what you're doing. So therefore, this is really, way of loving to oneself. The real correct way of loving to oneself, you know. And this is the way of giving freedom to oneself. When we are involved, when we are not living in the vow, you see, and there's no discipline. So you see, so mind is always also as we don't live in the discipline. You see, moral discipline. There's no vow. So you see, discipline. The discipline is not taken. You know, not promised. Not taken. And, you know, vow is not taken. So so you see. The mind, you see, there's not much protection for the mind. There's not so much protection for the mind. So you see, then whenever the delusion arises, you know, as the delusion arises, as the mind has been familiar with the delusion, having under the control of delusion from the beginning of the birth. So therefore, in our everyday life, you see, always, so easy mind to be overtaken by delusion, you see, possessed by delusion. So therefore, constantly, you know, that happens. So the delusion rises constantly and takes over the mind. So then you see, constantly, then there's non-virtuous actions. Bodhisattva's mind becomes non-virtuous constantly. So that, in this way, is not giving freedom to oneself. You know, in this way, you see, when one's mind is overtaken by anger, that action is not giving freedom to oneself. You see, giving the freedom rather giving to oneself, you're giving the freedom to the anger. Similarly, when the mind is so much occupied by dissatisfied in the desire, you know, then not giving freedom to yourself. You are giving freedom to desire, to the dissatisfied mind. So because of that, you don't give freedom to yourself. You don't free yourself from the dissatisfied mind desire. And so then how the life constantly becomes dissatisfied or unhappy like that. So same thing for my ignorance. You see, so when we are living in the vow precepts, you see, moral discipline, that when we're living in such a protection, you see, certain number of vow that we're living, you see, to not steal, to not tell lies, to not kill, this and that, and the refuge and so forth, you see. Refuge vow and so forth. So we abandon a certain number of negative karmas. So that is we are preventing all the suffering results of those negative karmas. You see, as you remember, I mentioned before, each complete negative karma has four suffering results. You see, as I mentioned at the beginning of the course. So, this much number of vow when we take, you see, we abandon them in negative karmas. So, you have to know that by creating negative karma, you see, killing whatever is telling lie, whatever is desire, once, then that has four suffering result. You see, even once, it has four suffering result. And this means we have to already we prepared to experience a problem in the future lives when we are born as a human being, besides the Lord, you see. Next time when we are born a human being, again, you see, experiencing the, you see, as a result of the past sexual misconduct, then again you're experiencing relationship problems, you know. And then you see disharmonies and separation, and then you see again engaging in the sexual misconduct in the next lives, you know. Doing the action again, you see, so like this, and then they suffer from place to the place, you know, like that. So then, because doing again, there's another result which one does again the action. Then you see, again that has four suffering result. Then one of the results is doing again next life. Then that has again four suffering results. Then that one of them is doing again. So then goes on and on like this, endless. So therefore, you see now, if one leaves the vow to abandon, you see, even just one, you know, killing or conduct something, you see, even just one, then all those four suffering results one do not experience. You see, if one do not create net karma, one do not experience those four suffering results of one net karma. So that means, next lives, you don't experience the result during the action again, nirkama again. You don't do that. So that means in the next lives, you know, you don't experience those problems, and again next lives you don't create the nirkama again. So you live in the vow, you don't do, you see, in next life. So the good one is always, you see, the positive side, you see, there's always positive. This positive action has all the four positive, you know, good results. So life to life, you see, there's always positive. One experience life to life, you see, like that. Then ultimate, you see, enlightenment. Ultimate, you see, enlightenment, like that. Ultimate, you see, enlightenment, you know, like that. So you see, therefore you can see, this way we're giving freedom when we take vow, when we refuse vow, precepts, you see, when we take vow, when we live in the vow, you see, we're giving freedom to ourselves. Why? Because we're creating the cause of happiness of this life, especially happiness of future life. So really unmistaken, we're creating the cause of the success. So this is the way of, even if we want success in this life, this is the unmistaken way to have success. You know, success for happiness of this life, you know, it depends on virtue. For example, by stealing, by killing others, by stealing, you know, things that you might get other people's power or other people's possessions. You might get it. But having the comfort by receiving other people's possessions by stealing, you see, that is the result of past life virtue. Of course, that comfort is happiness. So the result of the cause of that is past virtue. It's not, this happiness is not caused by this, stealing, you know, by killing other people, you know, stealing. It's just condition, became the condition, but not main cause. Main cause is because past life there's some virtue created, you see. So this life, the person experienced comfort, happiness, you know, having wealth and so forth, power, you know. You see, so by stealing, killing the person, the method is the way this life receives those things, you know, possessions or things like that. And this stealing and killing, this just condition, it's not the main cause. Then it can be condition for the comfort, happiness. You know? So like that. But you see now, this action, present action, stealing, you see, stealing, you know, the killing and so forth, you see. Now this, by doing this, one has created a cause, you see, unsuccess. One has created a cause for unsuccess. unsuccess, you see. Unsuccess this life, unsuccess future lives. Create a cause. By doing non-virtue, one create a cause for unsuccess. Failure. It's because what comes from this only suffering. So therefore, that's the success or failure, unsuccess or failure. So like that. So therefore, you see, when we live in this refuge vow or number of precepts, whatever one takes, and that can cause the success of this life, future life happiness, especially most important ones, the ultimate happiness, even from that, you know, enlightenment for sentient beings. So, by living in the vow, we gain what you get from this, what you get, what you gain from this, what you get from this, what you get from it, the profit. So by doing business, what profit you get, you know? By doing the business, what you get. So the profit, you see. So like that, here the profit are this. It's definite, you see, something that once the cause is done, the virtue, this living in the vow, definitely this result comes. This happiness result comes. You see, one can definitely experience. So therefore, this is how. It's not making yourself, by taking vow, it's not making yourself, not putting oneself in the prison, not making oneself, not in freedom. It is the opposite, giving oneself freedom, giving freedom to oneself, because what you want is happiness, what you do not want is suffering. So, therefore, this is the unmistaken method of work, we're working for happiness. You see? So this is the real way of giving freedom to oneself. So this should be understood. Real way of loving to oneself, or real way of giving freedom to oneself. So now the other thing to understand is this. The other thing to understand is this. Now you see there's big differences. Big differences by living in the vow, not living in the vow. So, you see, a person, you see, now, like this, generally like this, you see, person, there are different vows, for example. Person who promised to be butcher, to kill animal, or to be armies, to kill people, you see, who took this vow, you see, to be army, you know, to kill people, who took the vow to kill animal, you see, to be butcher. So now these people, you see, constantly, they, because by living this wrong vow, see, which harms. So constantly there's nirkama. They're creating nirkama constantly. By living this vow, see, I'm going to butcher. Butcher means to kill it, to the other things. I'm going to be army to kill people, you see. Once the person that took this vow, constantly there's nirkama. You see, until death, up to what the person promised to do that. So there's constantly that need karma. So there's one like this, negative one, you see. Now, in the sense of positive, you know, vow, so some, you see, for example, a person in a coma, person who is in a coma, living in a coma, you see, they cannot speak, cannot move, you see. Person who is unconscious, for example, doesn't do anything. You see, you know, so doesn't kill, doesn't tell lie, the person, you see, doesn't do certain conduct, you know, doesn't create problems in other people's relationships, things like that. So, but you see, now, even the person doesn't do, even the person hasn't taken a vow, doesn't do these things, but you see, the person doesn't do, but since the person hasn't taken the vow, there's no merit. The person doesn't just merit living the vow. So that's one thing that one should understand. Person who hasn't taken vow, even the person doesn't do any of these karmas, you see, there's no merit. Every second, minute, day, every day, gaining merit, continuously merit, this is not there. Person who don't take the vow, you see. You understand that? Even the person don't do, but there's not this merit. Yes, don't do so that the person doesn't experience those sufferings of negative karma. That doesn't experience, that happens. But you see, the merit, continuously you're gaining merit. Like the, money, you see, that invests in the factory or bank or company or things like that, you know, stock market or something, that, you see, gives profit, you know, continuously every month. So like that, you see, here, person who is living the vow, you know, whatever vow, one vow, two vow, whatever is taken, continuously, since the second that person took that vow, you know, continuously, you see, until death. If the person has taken the vow until death, then continuously, even the person is unconscious, they continue gaining merit. And even the person while he's eating, continuously merit. Even the person sleeping, how many hours sleeping, even all the 24 hours the person is sleeping, there's merit all the time. The person is gaining merit all the time. You see, all the time. If the person took one vow, two vow, then, yeah. So, first, we should understand this point, you know. The big difference between taking vow, not doing it, and having taken vow. Big differences in the life. In regards to the meaning of life, it makes big differences. That is very important. For example, a person who hasn't taken vow at all, offers, you know, it is said in teachings oceans of butter, you know, and then have put mountains, great mountains of Mount Meru, or great mountains of wax, then offer to, and then may offer to Buddhas, then may offer to the Buddhas. You know. Person who doesn't live in the vow makes big offering, huge offering like this. But now the person who lives in one vow, and makes an offering to Buddha, size of a nail, you see, that much butter and a wax, size of a needle, put inside, offered to Buddha. Now this person's, the second person's merit, offering is very small, but you see, because the person lives in the vow, even one vow, so the merit is much more, so much more, you see, it's like the size of this earth, you know? So much more than the other person who doesn't live in vow at all, then making a huge offering. So the merit is, you see, it is nothing comparing to this second person's merit who is living in the vow. Even this offering is so tiny, or even the offering is nothing, you know, so tiny. So this one should understand benefits, you see, living in the vow. So, like this. So huge differences. So even day-to-day life, when you do good actions, you are making charity, giving medicines to sick people, giving food to poor people or dogs, to animals, you see, making charity, you see, to fish, to, you see, animals or human beings. You are making charity. Day-to-day life, you are making charity. You are clearing good karma with the sentient beings. You are making offering to the Buddha Dharma Sangha. You see, every day, the positive action that you do, there's big difference in the in regards to merit, living the vow, not living the vow. You see, as I gave this example. So, if one who is living the vow, even the offering is there, even one is so poor, you know, you see, even one is doesn't have the, you know, material, doesn't have offering material, but one is living the vow, you know. So, even the offering is just, you know, just, you see, water, something water like this, small bowl, like this water, with one flower, or one stick of incense. You see, even giving one tiny rice, even giving one tiny rice charity to ants, to an animal ant, you see. Oh, you see, even one rice to an ant, you know, to one ant. You see, even one is so poor in material, you see, that there's nothing to offer. So you see, even day to life, when you offer food to Buddha before eating, drinking, you see, one glass of water, even offering to Buddha. For example, one tiny rice to an ant, you know, in charity, however, unbelievable merit you see, one can create, you know, so much. By living even one vow, you know, merit how much? Like size of this earth, you know, size of this earth. And then person who doesn't live vow at all, no matter how big offering the person does, you know, so many number, huge, how rich offering he offers, you see, or how much the person makes charity, gives sentient beings. So, merit is nothing comparing to this person who lives in the vow, who makes such tiny, you know, so small offering, almost nothing, you see. So that's big. So this is very important to be known. So therefore now, this is regards person living in one vow. Now, if the person is living in the two vow, even more merit everyday life when the person does a good action, positive, you know, karma, good karma, you know, then the person is living five places, the eight places even much more, then 36 places much more than 20, it's the largest number of merit. Even the action, even one day, see, even person makes one light offering, you know, one tiny light offering, you see, that person, you know, who is living 253 vow, or the fully ordained nuns, 360, something like that, you know, about 63 or something, I don't remember exactly. So something like that is the vows, then, you see, even one doesn't do much offering practices in those big offerings, you know, you see, charity and offerings, you know, even one doesn't do so much, you see. But the little that one does, you see, even, you know, one day, it's one tiny light offering, you see, or one giving one tiny rice to an ant, something, you see, becomes, you see, the largest merit in the person that commit. So like a sky. So, you don't see doing many, many things outside, you don't see. But actually, the person, the largest, is more number of vow, the person, most number of vow, the person living, merit what the person gains each time is like sky. You know? So then there's Bodhisattva vow. It's much more than that. You know? Then tantra vow, you see, then even greater, much more. When the person becomes married, you see, so much more. Million times much more, you see. Then Bodhisattva vow, so like that. So, therefore, one should, therefore, you see, one should rejoice by understanding this great profit, benefits, you see, what you gain from them, even what you gain from them, their everyday life, what you see, how makes the life, how much it makes the life so rich, unbelievable rich, rich inside, rich in the merit, you know. So that is very important to remember in our everyday life. Especially those who have taken, these vows, then should remember, it's very important to remember and take the opportunity. Then if one degenerate, take again, you know, those which can be taken again, then revive, you know, like that, practice. So there's a huge difference like that, taking vow, not taking vow in the life. So it is explained in Lamrim how you can make the life most meaningful, you know, most rich in merit, you see, creating cause for happiness. How to make most rich in creating cause for happiness, you see, in the merit. So there are four things explained. So this is very, very good to understand and to remember. It's evil one to have success. If you want always to have success now in future life, after enlightenment. So anyway, I mentioned here that so one thing is this, you see, one thing that what makes action to become, to accomplish the most merit is by the body, by the person living in the vow. That is one, the person living in the vow is one that makes actions to accumulate, you see, unconceivable, you know, merit. You see, unconceivable merit. Makes the positive action, makes the, you see, virtuous action to, you see, the merit what one accumulates, you see, great, extensive. So that's one thing, that's one method. Every time when you want the merit one, what one accumulates, you see, it becomes, extensive, you know. Unconceivable, you made it by the person living the vow. That's one thing. That's one method. Then, second method is by motivation. So, you see, each time when we do our action, each time when we make offering to the Triple Gems, you see, and each time when we create good karma with the sentient beings, like helping to somebody, you see, giving things to somebody, some sentient beings, you know, you see, animals, to eliminate their suffering, problems, or to obtain happiness for them, or however, you see, what is the what we're doing, consultation to their problems, or giving material to them, cup of tea for them, or you see, making charity, you see, making charity to giving something, a biscuit or fruit or something, see, even to other sentient beings, making charity. However, giving something to other sentient beings, however, you see, every time if we accumulate, if we do this with a motivation bodhicitta, then you see infinite merit, each time we gain infinite merit. You see, each time we help other sentient being, we give things to other sentient being, you see, if we do out of bodhicitta, infinite merit each time. So that is very important, very, very important if you're looking for success. Now, from now on, after enlightenment, then this is what we should do. You see, to, you know, to always, if one, even one doesn't have realization, bodhicitta, but it's try to remember. You see, the motivation, you see. It's very important to not lose the opportunity to gain infinite merit each time. So, when we motivate bodhicitta, then naturally the action becomes virtue. You see? Naturally the action becomes virtue. Like that, you know. Purest virtue. Best virtue. See? So, that second method, to accumulate infinite merit. And then, third method to accumulate infinite merit, extensive merit, you know. That is, so whenever you make offering, whenever one make offering to the statue, scripture, holy object, you know, stupas, or, you see, or actual living Buddha Bodhisattvas, you see, all the time, as much as possible to remember or meditate that they are embodiment of one's own guru. Embodiment of one's own guru. You see? The guru, so to hear, so in regards to the field of, in regards, you see, parents, starting from this, parents and ordinary Sangha who don't have actual realization, dharma, you see, wisdom directly perceiving emptiness. So those are ordinary, those who are living, who are ordained ones, living in ordination, are the ordinary Sangha, you know, as groups. So, the, so first of all, parents, you know, they are powerful object. Second, Sangha, those who don't have actual refuge dharma, actualized, ordinary Sangha, more powerful. Then, Bodhisattva, more powerful. Then Buddha, more powerful. Then, after Buddha, then Guru. It's not Guru, what normally, what the people who have titled Guru, not that. Here this sense, Guru means, like same as Guru Puja, means related to one's own virtual teacher from whom one has received Dharma conduct. And that Guru, not generally in the world who has titled Guru, not that. In regards to the field, power of field, power object, you see, among these are powerful, all these are powerful objects. If you create any small negative karma within, because objects are very powerful, so you want to start to experience in this life the problems of that, the suffering results of that negative karma. If one does a small good thing, small positive action with these objects, because these are very powerful objects, so the karma becomes very good. Positive karma becomes also very heavy. Positive karma becomes very powerful. So you start to experience the result of happiness, even in this life. So among these, highest, most powerful object is the one's own virtuous friend. One's own virtuous friend. One's own virtuous friend. So that power, that power, you see, how that person gets this power, because the, you see, most powerful object for that, you see, for that disciple, you know, is a, you see, the in regards to accumulate merit, is a. When that disciple, you see, now make determination, is that is my guru, you see, I'm taking the teachings, they from teaching initiation, whatever she vows and this, from long old transmission, from that person, you see, when that person with this determination, when the person this way, then making Dharma contact, you see, with that person, making Dharma contact, receiving Dharma contact. So, this way, then that person become Guru. So this person's making Dharma contact, making Dharma contact to that person, the disciple making Dharma contact to that person, that one, which makes that person to be Guru, that is the one that which gives all the power, the most power, is a power, most powerful. That makes the Guru or the being, you see, most powerful object for that disciple. To accumulate merit or to create nirkama or to accumulate merit. So, therefore, since this is the highest object, you know, most powerful, highest object, so one accumulates. If one accumulated merit with this object, one accumulated infinite merit, largest, greatest merit. So, therefore, you see, when one makes offering to the statues, scriptures, stupas, you know, all the excellent holy beings, then both of the sapas, you see, then if one meditate or remember that all the embodiment of Guru, one's own Guru, then each time one accumulated, you see, infinite merit, largest merit. You see, each time one makes offering to Buddha, that means number of Buddha as one makes offering, you see, by thinking Guru, one accumulates even to one statue or one to Buddha by thinking Guru, when one makes offering, one, you see, accumulates the most extensive merit. So, therefore, then it's unconceivable if one makes offering. By thinking all the Buddha sabbath, then it's inconceivable. So there's a third method, how to make a life most meaningful is to accumulate merit infinite sky. Then fourth one is in regards to giving things, you know, the material and Dharma. See, in regards to giving, that you know. Substantial, the physical things, you know, then given Dharma. So in regards to things that you give to others, that you accumulate most extensive merit, that is giving teaching. So it is said that. I don't remember 100%, but it said that giving teaching one stanza to one sentient being, you see, giving teaching just one stanza, even one stanza to one sentient being, the merit is so much more than whole realm is completely filled. With jewels, you fill the complete filled with jewels, and then you offer to the sentient beings. So comparing that much merit of giving to sentient beings, that much is the merit of that much things given to the sentient beings, and.